If you would, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We do have a lot of family here tonight. It's a joy to have everybody here. Have my parents here tonight and Kate's grandparents. And you all know Stacy and her and her husband Brent are here tonight. So we've appreciate everybody coming, but it's a joy. It's always a joy to get to be here and to preach the word, and I finally have made it. I have outgrown Brother Wade's beard, something I've been trying to achieve for a while now, and I finally made it thanks to his mistake with the razor. That's right. That way, yeah. Yeah, either Arden or Will, that's who I'm going after next. I might get booted out of the house, but I may try. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we're going to be at tonight. You know, it's a joy to be a pastor. I love my church, and it's hard to believe that I've been there for 4 years now. And they have been a great blessing to me and my family. But throughout the time of being a pastor, there's often times where you have to go visit people in the hospital. And so I was reading about a fellow that when he was a young pastor, he went to the hospital to make some visits. And he was with a group of other people. He was a student at the time. He was with a bunch of other students going around and praying for people in the hospital. And so they would take turns saying a prayer. And praying for people's recovery. So they were at a nearby hospital taking turns to pray, and finally it was his turn. He was very nervous, and he prayed for God to heal the woman and spare her any recurrence of this illness. After his amen, he went back and to the hall only to be told they were in the maternity ward. It might be good to know what you're praying for before you pray. So this is a special service. I appreciate the time to get to come and even to bring a Bennett up here. And it is a joy to be a parent. I always wondered what it would be like. I knew a long time ago that eventually I'd want to be a dad as well. And I couldn't ever imagine what it would be like. It's still hard to imagine today that I have two wonderful boys. And I never imagined having two boys. And I kind of thought maybe, we might have a boy and a girl or something like that. I figured we'd end up having girls or whatnot. But I've got two boys. And so we always tell everybody that we're a house of three boys because I'm included. And there's lots of stuff that gets broken and holes in the walls and stuff tore up. We're really good at destroying things. We're good at wrestling and hurting each other, but it's a lot of fun, mostly in hindsight. But it is a joy to be a parent. One thing that I learned is part of being a parent, when we went to the hospital, and it was the same case with both of the boys. When we went home, they forgot to stick the manual in our carrier. They came and even checked out the carrier, made sure it looked good, it made sure I knew how to put it in there. But they forgot to give me the manual. And each of you that are parents understand, it's difficult learning how to raise a child. It's difficult seeing what they go through. It's difficult seeing the challenges. It's difficult to figure out what to do. And it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of dedication. And I can't stand before you this evening and tell you that I'm a great parent. I have to say that we're trying, and we have to sit down and figure things out, and we have to pray and ask God to reveal to us what in the world to do a lot of the time. But if you will, look with me in 1 Samuel. And I want to deal with this matter a little bit about our children. And the Bible tells us, let's look in verse 1. It says, "Now there was a certain man in Ramath we'll skip over that, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. We're going to have a quiz about that later. So remember those. Verse 2, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts. And Shiloh and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was, when that time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for my family, for all that you've given me. And Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us. Lord, that we would be determined and dedicated to raising our families for you, to guarding them and teaching them. Lord, teach us to be godly men and women, and our children to be godly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we find here a woman who the Bible says that God had shut up her womb. And she was depressed. She was grieving because what she wanted so dearly in life were children of her own. Oftentimes, people desire to have children, and they desire greatly. And one thing that I was surprised to learn as we decided that we wanted to have kids of our own is how difficult it can be. You know, for some people, they're blessed easily to be able to have children. And then some it's a cause of worry, and it's stressful in praying for a child. And you begin to worry and wonder, well, maybe God isn't going to bless us with children. Maybe that's not God's plan. And then you start wondering if you're going to like God's plan for your life, or if he was mistaken in the direction that he planned for you. Sometimes it's very stressful in the thought of just trying to pray for a child. I remember a lot of stress that we had in our lives of hoping that we would have children and hoping that everything would go okay, and it was difficult to think about that. We don't know what God's plan is. We don't know if God is planned children in our life. And a lot of people will adopt, or a lot of people will do other things and not everybody has children, and that's okay. But oftentimes we desire those things, and we desire a child in our life and wonder if we're ever going to be able to do so. And Hannah, that's what she wanted most out of life, is a child of her own for her to raise and to love and to cherish. And so often God puts that desire in our heart to have children. It's part of God's plan for us to raise up families and raise up godly families and teach them about Christ and set them out in this world to do the work of God. And so that's a godly thing. It's a good thing to desire a family, to desire children. But oftentimes it's a difficult and sometimes a long process. Sometimes people are told that they cannot have children, that it won't even take place. And a lot of you will know somebody that has had a miracle in their life and been told they can't have children, and God has blessed them with children at this point in their lives. But Hannah knew that she was unable to have a child, and she would be weeping and torn. And the Bible says in verse number 8, her husband Elkanah came to her and asked her, "Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not?" Because she refused to eat, and she would cry all the time. It says, "Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" It grieved Elkanah that his wife was torn and distraught and worried over this. And so she came to the temple in verse number 9. And the Bible tells us in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look with me in verse number 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And so she was desperate. She desired a child so badly. That's all that she wanted. And she desired it of God, so she refused to eat. And she came to the temple and prayed. And the Bible says she wept sore. And she vowed a vow to God that if you'll give me this child, then I'll promise to dedicate him to you and give him to you. You know, one thing that I have learned is in both cases with our two boys, that it is not only once you find out the joy that you're going to have a child, or at least after she picked me up off the floor, then it's difficult just to get them here. Now, some people don't have a lot of trouble, but I have learned that many families have difficulty trying just to keep the child well and healthy. And we were told several times throughout that experience that from our doctor that it didn't look very good. And with our first son, we were told with assurance by the doctor that he wasn't going to make it. And that was depressing. That was difficult. We had prayed and had prayed, and God blessed us with this child, with this boy. And we were thrilled. We were excited. And God had answered all our prayers and blessed us with this baby. And then we were told that he wouldn't even make it. And it's very difficult to go through those types of troubles and trials and praying and worrying over your children. And it's a difficult process just to get them here. And if you're like us, we're a bunch of worriers. We worry about everything. And we panic about everything. I try not to panic as much, but we wind up scaring each other half the time. And we worry about everything. They can't sneeze around us, or they're sick. We got to take them to the hospital right now. It's kind of scary sometimes being a parent. And I remember holding my boys when they were born and thinking, they're going to break or dissolve in my hands. And I was scared to even hold them. And I remember the first time, I remember refusing when Reese was born to ever give him a bath. Because it was scary, the idea of this tiny little baby trying to take care of him. And it was a hard road at first. And I won't say that it's too much easier. Now we just worry about different things. And I don't imagine that'll ever stop. We'll always be worried over the boys and worried if they're okay. But God oftentimes will give us a great desire to have children. But that journey along the way can be very difficult, can be filled with trials. They're so precious and important to us. And oftentimes it's a difficult process. I want you to notice something as well. Look with me in verse number 11. The Bible says that Hannah vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid and wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And look with me in verse 15. The Bible says, and Hannah answered, she's talking to Eli the priest, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And it goes on to say, and look with me in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. God granted her desire and gave her a little boy. And the Bible says that she called him Samuel because she asked him of the Lord, and God granted her this child. Children in our lives are gifts from God. A child is precious. And they're precious because when God puts it upon someone's heart to desire and want children, and we pray for them, and we yearn to have these little ones in our life and to raise a family. When they're born, they're such a miracle. Just the fact that they're even here is a miracle of God. The fact that we can hold them in our hands and kiss their face is a miracle of God. I don't see how anybody who doesn't believe in God can't look into the eyes of their baby and not see God and see his work and bringing them here. And when I look at my boys, even in spite of their orneriness, I see God's work in their life. The only way they're even here is because God made it happen. Every child that's ever born is from God, is given as a gift from God. There's children born in all sorts of circumstances, but God is the one who created them, and God is the one who knows their name, and God's the one who put them there. And they're miracles, and they're precious. And Hannah understood that my child is precious. He's beautiful. He's important. And he must be taken care of. He must be taught to serve God. She said, I asked him of the Lord, and God blessed me with this little boy. And so they're gifts from God. Not only that, but they should be bathed in prayer. Our children should be bathed in prayer. Just as Hannah, she prayed and cried out to God and asked God for this child. In verse 11, the Bible says that she vowed a vow. And she said, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And look with me in verse 21. The Bible says, The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Look with me in verse 27. She told Eli the priest, says, For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. A child needs to be bathed in prayer. A child needs to be prayed for from the beginning, the time they're born, all throughout their life. We ought to be on our faces before God, begging God to protect them, to guard them, to guide them in this world, to pray for their future, to pray for their development, to pray for their health. But we should be praying for everything about our children. And our children should see us praying for them. They should know that their parents are dedicated and asking God to take care of them. Only God can watch over them. You know, oftentimes I feel as a parent that I want to protect and guard my children. But there's a lot of times where I feel helpless, that I can't make them better. I can't help them a lot of times. And a lot of times I feel like everything's out to get them. And there's only so much that you and I can do. There's only so much that we have control over. And we could sit here and worry about everything. But what we need to do instead is pray and get on our faces before God, that because only God can spare my child from harm. Only God can spare their lives and give them a life that would please Him and a life of service to Him. And they need tremendous prayer. The most important thing we need to understand about our children is that they belong to God. Our children, they may be our children. That's my little boy, or that's my little girl. But ultimately, they belong to God. God has given and entrusted our children to us so that we can raise them for right, so that we can raise them to serve God. What did Hannah do? Why did God bless her with this boy in her life? Because the Bible says she vowed a vow. And she said, if you give me this child, then I'll give him to you. I'll see that he serves you. I'll teach him to do what's right. She says, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. In fact, then we find later as she's weaning the boy, and then she plans to take him to the temple and to give him in service to the Lord and to the priest. Look with me in verse 24. The Bible says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. She literally brought her son to the temple to give him in service to God. So, as of Monday morning, everybody bring their children up here to Wade, and he'll take care of them from there. But we see an incredible circumstance with her and bringing her child to the temple. And in fact, we find as Samuel grows as a young man, and he's taught by Eli the priest, and he meets the Lord there, what God does in his life. You know, not every one of our children's going to grow up and become a preacher or whatnot, but they can all serve the Lord. They don't have to go overseas as a missionary or start a church somewhere, but they should all serve the Lord. It's all of our responsibility to live for God, but even more so for the parents to teach the children that their purpose in life is to serve God. You know, oftentimes parents have great desires for their children to become this or to do that or to have this accomplishment or go to this school or get this degree. And all those things are fine as long as they understand that my true purpose in this life is God. My true purpose is to live for Jesus. That no matter what I do in life, no matter where God leads me, that's what I'm supposed to do, is to live for God. And that's what the Bible tells us, is to teach our children, to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we have to understand that God has given our children so that we can raise them for him. And every parent should give their child to God. We should have that conversation with God and let him know, I understand that I have been entrusted with this precious little one. And I've got to raise him. I've got to teach him about Jesus. And they should be given and dedicated to God. And that's why we do this. And we have this service of dedication just to as a help to the parents. And a way for the parents to express that, yes, my child does belong to God. And I will raise him for God's will. And we should desire, most of all, no matter what it is that they accomplish in their lives, we should desire that they ultimately have a life that's pleasing to God. And it's part of the obedience of a parent to turn over their children to God and to work every day to teach them the things of God, to encourage them to go to church, to encourage them to do what's right, to encourage them to stand up for the Lord in this world, to encourage them to be faithful. That's what it means for us to be a parent. It's what it means for us to be a godly parent. And God has entrusted you and I with our children for that purpose. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I ask that you would help each and every one of us. I ask that you would help all of those who are parents in this room to be faithful and to teach their children, that you would give them help and guidance and courage to teach your children of the truth and set them on the right path to you. Lord, I ask that you'd help each and every person here that has it on their hearts, a desire to have children, and Lord, that you would bless them and that you would use them and that you would entrust them with children that they can raise for your honor and glory. Lord, I ask that you'd help us, Lord, as your people, to be faithful to our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would stand this evening, we'll have a song of invitation. I want to encourage each of you that are a parent, if you need to come and pray for your children or pray for yourself, that God would use you in their lives, feel free to do so, and we'll give you the time to do that tonight.